Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
I want to start out with the issue of crowd control. Since the George Floyd police shooting, we've had so many protests, some demonstrations, which there was one in Washington this weekend, which seems to be peaceful and respectful. But there has also been what we have seen as devastating looting and riots costing our city and other cities hundreds of millions of dollars in property damage. You can't go anywhere in Chicago without seeing the horror of the boarded up stores and the businesses. Now we have Kenosha where we see the rioting. What can law enforcement do to contain rioters? What are the principles of crowd control in this very highly charged environment that we're in? Joining us on WGN to discuss this issue is Travis Norton. He's a police lieutenant who served in roles as defense tactic instructor, a SWAT operator, and a less lethal instructor. He instructs for the National Tactical Officers Association, and he has a master's in emergency service administration. And he's going to tell us all about what we need to do here in Chicago to keep crowds under control. Hello, Travis. How are you?
Hi, good, Karen. How are you?
Good. Welcome to Chicago. So,
thank you.
If we can sum up a little bit, and then we'll go into some more detail. You're the police chief, or you are in charge of what might be a demonstration that might turn into something a little bit more violent and not peaceable. What are the principles surrounding crowd control?
Well, I don't know there are principles per se, but you've got some rules, and how we break them down, and there's a few ways you can do this, is we'll break them down into either a peaceful demonstration or protest. Then you've got your individual, your second one there is individual criminal acts, and that's what's causing us a lot of problems right now is criminals, violent protesters that are embedded with peaceful protesters. And then you've got your third, which is your crowd-based criminal acts, your riots, which is what you're talking about. But just one thing we have to remember is they are not a unified body in these protests. There's no single spokesman, no internal infrastructure, and in many cases, people we're talking to don't speak for that whole crowd. And so as a result, we do our best our can to accommodate them. But honestly, it's to our advantage that they police their own if they can.
So how are police officers advised on how to deal with demonstrators? Meaning, are they supposed to be nice to them? Are they supposed to look them in the eye? Are they supposed to, I mean, what are you trained to do as a police officer when you're facing, what you're saying to me is, you know, different people with different intentions in this big crowd?
Right. A lot of that. So some departments use very varying models. If you go back to the 60s and 70s, you know, policing for protests was a dominant show of force. And those were very aggressive approaches. And that led to the emergence of the negotiated management model, which a lot of agencies use. Some use a more, you know, that 70s model where they show that dominant force. But as far as training goes, it varies across the country. Everybody is trained differently. And unfortunately, there's no one size fits all for the context of everybody's protest that they deal with.
Before we go to break, we're going to have to hop off. I think there's been some criticism of our mayor, criticism of our police chief, because the talk during the press conferences, you know, it can be a little warm and fuzzy, like, you know, love, you know, conquers all, and, you know, and everyone should be peaceable, and citing Martin Luther King and the Bible, and people are saying, no, you got to be harder on these people. Just give me the quick 30-second soundbite on what's the answer to that.
I think the answer to that is differentiating between the peaceful protests and your rioters and your individuals who are there to commit criminal acts, which causes us a lot of issues. Like I said before, I think it's just important to differentiate those and have that, take that zero tolerance against rioting and looting, but make sure that your peaceful protesters are able to do exactly that. And
Thank you.
Protest.
We're going to have to just take a break now. Yep. You're listening to WGN. More on the other side. Welcome back. We're here with Travis Norton, who's an expert in this crowd control issue. He's a police lieutenant, and he instructs people on these types of issues. Welcome back to the show. I'm sorry we had to cut off. We have a little abbreviated show here due to sports, of course. Let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned like there's different theories on how you deal with crowd control. And, you know, what you hear about, let's call in the National Guard. Let's have tanks running down the street. What is your thought about that? Is that effective or not?
Well, what the National Guard does is it essentially provides reinforcements and frees up the police to do other tasks. They can protect critical infrastructure, security, area denial, but obviously they are not policemen, and the National Guard is not a panacea. But what they do bring is sustainability as opposed to the sustainability that the police bring to the table.
Now, when are things like water cannons and tear gas and rubber bullets, when are those supposed to be implemented? Are there rules about that?
Right. So use of force rules vary, but we don't use water cannons. We use tear gas, and we don't call them rubber bullets. We call them impact munitions. But we use those to target violent rioters, which are the most common. We protect our skirmish lines. And we stop the rioters from throwing chemical munitions back at us. We do not use less lethal force on crowds, only on riots declared by repeated dispersal orders confirmed by failure to follow those.
So when you're a police officer and you're in the midst of one of these riots, like you saw in Kenosha, are you taking orders from some commander who's on the ground with you? And are they relaying to you what you should be doing in these situations?
So the incident commander is overall. Now, hopefully they align that decision-making authority with those that are on the front lines and those supervisors that are there looking at the problem that have situational awareness. Some people do it differently than that, but that's usually the most common is the incident command system.
I'm sorry, the incident command is what?
Incident command is you have it's a modular system. It's for resource management, so you have somebody that's in charge. And then you have an incident commander, and then you have your mobile field forces with supervisors, and, you know, you've got your grenadiers and your linebackers and your skirmish lines that you see a lot on TV.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the issue in Kenosha. So you see the scene, and you see there are, at least we saw the one young man who was arrested for killing three people. He was walking around with an AR-15, and he was legally, he was underage, so he couldn't legally have that gun. But if he had been of age, he could have been walking around with that military style weapon. What does a police officer think about this? Does this confuse the situation? Do police officers like to have people like that running around, or does it make their job harder?
Oh, absolutely. It makes it harder, but it appears from the videos that I've seen, not just in Wisconsin, but other places, that a lot of these individuals are protecting businesses. Interestingly, the safety of the members is one reason governments were first instituted. And when the government demonstrates that we can't or unable to protect or provide that most fundamental service, people are going to take steps to do that.
And as we know, I mean, from a legal standpoint, you can't shoot someone in protecting your property, but you can look awful scary doing it, I suppose.
Right.
So, So here's another question. So, everyone's calling for more arrests. We want more arrests. We want more prosecutions for these looters and these people who are breaking into the businesses up and down the streets in Chicago. How is that done when you have this crowd of people? You might have like 10, 20 people all in one area looting different stores. What is the theory on how a police officer confronts any individual, grabs them, and then they have to book them and process them and make sure you have the facts to prosecute? How is that done?
Well, that's manpower intensive, and we only have a finite number of resources, as you know. There are different tactics that you can use to contain that problem and if you're going to affect arrest, but it also takes the law enforcement agency having a really good relationship with the district attorney and how they're going to handle that. And a lot of that work has to be done on the front end, not while it's happening.
So just let's get real specific here with not general thoughts on this, but specifically, you're a police officer, you're standing there, there's 20 people breaking into the subway or whatever, and What is your thought? You want to start arresting people. How do you do that? How, you've got a group of police officers. Is there some tactic to go, like, pull the nearest one and handcuff them? How do you do that?
Well, again, it depends on the number of people you have, and do we have the authority or our rules of engagement such that we're going to arrest people for looting? And how we do that, it's very context dependent. It's going to depend on who do I have with me, what less lethal platforms do I have with me, where are we going to take all these arrestees? We're not going to be able to get all of them. And again, very, very manpower intensive to stop some of that.
And is there some thought that by arresting these people, prosecuting them, and jailing them, that this will deter others? Or is that not really something that the police even think about, that you just need to process these people, let the criminal justice system do its work? Does it really deter people?
That's a hard question to answer. We would hope so. But when you don't make arrests, I think it, you know, and I hear a lot of, well, we're just going to disperse the crowd. And I know that, you know, our hands are tied a lot of times on whether or not we can arrest somebody. And that comes from another above us, if you will.
Well, so let's just talk a little bit about the fact that this is a different kind of protest in that the protest that we've been seeing since the George Floyd case, in that when people protest certain things, whether it's women's rights or abortion or whatever it is, it's not generally directed at the police. But in this case, these protests are stemming, ostensibly at least, from the mm-hmm. idea that police officers are doing these bad things and we're going to have to stop them, and we want justice, and we want to fight racism. How do the police act differently because you then become the target of what the rioters are doing?
Well, what it makes is it makes it hard for us to use that negotiated management model, because you try and make contact with the protest organizers, and a lot of times they either flat ignore you, or they just don't want to talk to you, or they're not cooperative. And we're trying to help them facilitate their First Amendment rights. And with the anti-police climate that we're in, it makes it very difficult on us to use that negotiated management model.
So can you explain what you mean by that negotiated management model? I need to know what that means, like a little more specifically.
So we negotiate with the protest leaders to make plans to help avoid conflict, help facilitate their First Amendment right. And we rely on this approach because it displays a greater level of tolerance, and it helps us communicate clearly ahead of time what they're going to do, where they're marching. And we recognize that communicating with protesters is really necessary to achieve mutually agreeable outcomes.
Good. All right. Well, thank you, Travis. Thank you so much for joining me. Travis Norton,
thank you.
Police lieutenant, served as a defense tactics instructor. Thank you for joining me on WGN.